April 14th, 2026. You're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today in the program, we're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 21, looking at verses 9 through 27 with a message titled, He Who Thirsts, Come.
I don't see how there's any goodness going on in the world right now, do you? I don't see much victory in the world. I don't see much of anything happening. I don't. And what Revelation did for them, and what Revelation by now should have done for you, is find a way through all of it. Find a way through life. This is a book that gets you through life. This is a book that answers everything about life under the sun and the hardship.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Well, after some time working through the book of Revelation, we've made it to the very last sermon in the book. And so I ask you to turn to the very last chapter of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 22. We'll be reading through verses 6 through 21, which is the end of that chapter and the end of the book. This is Revelation chapter 22, beginning at verse 6. This is the word of the Lord. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, and the sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. And there ends the reading of God's word. Well, after some time now, we conclude this glorious book, study of this glorious book called Revelation. And it has, at least for me, been immensely helpful as a pastor. This is, for me, a big achievement. This is like achievement day, I guess, to preach through this book. And to feel that I did it by God's grace. I've really enjoyed it and learned so much from it. But as we come to the end today, there's a specific purpose that the Lord has that he doesn't want us to leave this book without taking away some very important things and to not lose them. To not lose them. It really is applying everything that we have now learned. It really is. This is a great section of application. It has the effect of answering the question, what do you do with all this knowledge that you've been given now? And you've been given a lot of knowledge in this book. If you've listened, and you've read it, and you've heard it, you've been given some very special things. And so this becomes, at the end of this book, a beautiful call to enter into all that God has promised you and given to you in his Son, and to believe these things and to hold on to these things. After describing for us last time heaven, I really enjoyed preaching the last section where we got a glimpse of heaven. We were able to see what the future holds and what it will be like. The glorious city of God, where God dwells among his people. What that will be like. I encourage anyone who wasn't here and missed that to listen to that sermon. Because that, if you've ever wondered about heaven, outlines it in this section so beautifully for us to help us. We ended with this vision of paradise, completely recovered. Paradise lost, and then paradise recovered. The glorious city of God, there being in the middle, it was said, no more curse there. It's hard for us even to fathom that, because we live with the problem of sin and curse. Heaven was brought to earth. The division was fixed. The division between God and man was remedied. Man and neighbor. And there we were with the Lord forever, pictured in glory, worshiping and enjoying the Lord in peace and joy and complete happiness. But now we come to concluding thoughts in this book. I love God's conclusions to these inspired books, because we really get what the Holy Spirit wants for us to take, to run with, to hold on to. And we see this now, beginning at verse 6, that we've made a transition where we are really back to chapter 1. That's the effect of this. Then he said to me, verse 6, these words are trustworthy and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place, and behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he, the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, this is almost verbatim chapter 1. There are a few important switches here. But if you caught it and looked and considered what he just did at the end of this book, you'll notice here, and just listen to chapter 1 when we first started, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear. Remember, Jesus talked a lot, not just about faithful preaching, but faithful hearing, having the ability to hear, and he gives that to you. If you've heard it, blessed are you. If you've heard it, blessed are you. That required you giving yourself to this study. Blessed are you. And those who keep. Now, here's what we're going to focus on this morning. Those who keep what was written in it, for the time is near. When he first said that, you had no idea what he was talking about. You didn't think they were John's visions. You probably thought they were John's delusions. Hard to understand it, wasn't it? What was all this? Most people, a lot of Reformed folk, have stayed away from this book to their own fault and their own peril. There was a promise at the beginning of this book. Blessed is he. There was a promise of blessing as you've gave yourself to study this book, if you heard it. Blessed is he who hears and who reads it. That was a saying that there's going to be a great blessing for those who really gave themselves to this, to listen to it, and by the Spirit heard it. You are given a knowledge, an unveiling of the world that no one else sees. And I mean that. Nobody else sees. Revelation was given to the people of God, the friends of Jesus, was given to them to a church in the middle of attack and confusion and hardship in this present age to lift up their eyes, as we heard last week. And all the idolatry, all the persecution, all the hardship, all the sin, all the things that we're living in and what they were living in the Roman Empire, all of it, they realized, was way too powerful for them. That's what we realize. Sin is powerful. Sin is powerful. And they were discouraged about everything, weren't they? The church, because they were discouraged, was compromising left and right. They were compromising, thinking, this doesn't work. We're doing it this way. It's not going to work in a Roman culture. We've got to change everything. And so they did. And the Lord said, I'm going to come and judge your church. You can go on, but my presence will be gone. He warned them, don't compromise in the midst of all of this. They just couldn't reconcile how, if Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if he's more powerful than the Emperor of Rome, why things are going like this? That was the heart of this struggle, remember? And so, in the midst of all these things, in the midst of hardships, we are all tempted to give up. We're all tempted to lose heart. We're all tempted to go the other way. We're all tempted, because grass always, always looks greener elsewhere, to run. That's the challenge of this book. And we feel it constantly. We feel it constantly. I don't see how there's any goodness going on in the world right now. Do you? I don't see much victory in the world. I don't see much of anything happening. I don't. And what Revelation did for them, and what Revelation by now should have done for you, is find a way through all this. Find a way through life. This is a book that gets you through life. This is a book that answers everything about life under the sun in the hardship. It's looking at things now a certain way. That's what the book has done for us. And what has this book said to you? I'll think of some of the themes that we've run through. There are two worlds, aren't there? The first heaven, there are two cities. The first heaven and the first earth are soon to be done away with forever. But there's a holy city, a heavenly Jerusalem that is coming, that is your home, the Lord keeps telling you over and over. So set your eyes there, keep your hearts there, and the Lord is reigning there. And very soon, notice how it's always a push in the New Testament, soon, 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 he's going to come and make this all right. But he said overwhelming things to us. You are completely, through all of this, shielded. You are completely, through all of this, protected. You are safe in his care. He has bore you on eagle's wings. He has kept you. He has preserved you, and he will to the end. Listen to Dennis Johnson. You are the sealed people of God. You are marked with his name. Whatever may occur between today and the great day of the wrath of God and of the Lamb, you know that on that day you will be able to stand. You know on that day you will be able to stand without terror and with expectant joy. You are the measured sanctuary of God. Remember, church is the city. You are jealousy guarded by his Spirit from any defilement that would lead to his withdrawal from your midst. You are the two invincible witnesses of God. It's them that are the cowards, because they won't come. Remember, he said the first thing about the sins of those on the outside? They're cowards. They won't come. You're not cowards. This is the feel of this book in the end. You're not cowards. Don't act like it. You're my people. So Revelation is a great motivating book in this present age, looking at things a certain way and telling you, you're looking at everything wrongly. Stop. Stop. In all of life, you're looking at it wrongly. Your earthly perspective is not the heavenly perspective. There's a heavenly reign, and there's a boardroom up there of somebody in control of it all. There are unseen realities at work. God is in your midst. And yes, he has given you a call to suffer for a while for his namesake. Yeah, he's given you that call. Through much tribulation, you enter the kingdom. Jesus said it the whole time. You've been told ahead of time. Your minds have been trained through this book to look at it all differently. That's been the purpose. That's been the goal. That in what seems to be defeat, you are winning. In what seems to be defeat, you are winning. And have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That's the basis of victory. And your enemies have all been unmasked for you in this book. You see. You see what the beast is. You see what governments can't become and why we never put our trust in princes. You see what the crushing power of Satan, Antichrist, can be, and all the false voices that lure us and our children away. The false prophet. Alternate voices in the earth. Millions of alternate voices under that voice that has one great goal: to lead you away to false worship, to all the wrong priorities in life. You've studied the deception, the falsehood, the lies, leading people to give their heart to the beast, and the world has done it. That was Romans 1. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is forever blessed. Amen. Two worships: the beast or the worship of Christ. It's all about worship. And you see what Babylon is now. You see what Babylon is. You've seen what the world is. You see the harlot stuffing our children with cotton candy, filling your bellies with as much wine of luxury as he can. You've seen the harlot, she, offering you every kind of pleasure under the sun to captivate your hearts and take you far away. You've seen the cup of abominations, it's called, to destroy you. You've seen what all that's in that cup can do to people. You drink it, you die. It's poison. You've seen the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life coming at you in the symbol of this woman, Babylon. Babylon the Great, mystery, mother of harlots and of abominations in the earth. To make you love the world, to make Babylon your home, where your treasure is, said Jesus, there your heart will be. That's Revelation. In contrast all to the Jerusalem above, which is the mother of us all, the holy city, the church, the pure bride, where you're headed and will soon be without any more of this misery. The enemy wants you all not to take too much very seriously. That's been a message here. Don't take this all very seriously. You can live up the good life, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what he wants for you. That's his will for your life. You've learned the warfare in the book. You've seen the lie. He will turn on you quickly. He's no friend. The dragon will turn on you quickly. And he'll use, after the harlot has filled you with everything good, the dragon will use governments to crush you. He's done it throughout history. In the midst of it all, you were shown a champion. You were shown the champion, the one promised from Genesis 3, your Savior riding on a white horse, everyone subject to him, seated now on the throne, a throne fixed in heaven where he reigns, and there is glory and majesty and a sea of crystal, pure as glass. Nothing is turbulent up there. It's all calm. Whatever he decrees from the throne happens. Every knee bows to him. Every tongue confesses he's Lord. And all the kingdoms of darkness, all the false lies, all those perpetrating it, all of them face his judgment. And you see his coming. The marvel of it all, robed. He comes with a robe dipped in blood. He died for you, and now he comes to repay. He won. That's the book of Revelation. He won. This one, your Jesus, who you worship, the one through whom everything was made, is Lord and King over all, and he's prepared a city for you, a new Jerusalem, and now he promised, in the midst of this, when his disciples were distressed, I go to prepare this place for you, and I am coming back to take you that where I am, you may be. Not to get your own little pawns, that you get to be with him. Now, what has that done for you? I mean, you've been told this stuff for a long time. You've been preached these perspectives for a long time. You've read and understood. What does the Lord want you doing with it? Right? That's the emphasis here. What are you doing with all the knowledge you've been given? People say, we want application. This is the best section of application you'll ever get. If he's given you all that, what are you doing with it? Well, there's a little phrase that's different from the beginning, where the Lord said in the beginning, blessed are those who hear and read this book. Now he says, blessed are those who keep this book. It's a little interesting word. Keep it. In other words, hold it in reserve. Now, the word means preserve for a purpose at a suitable time. Have it. Have it in your heads. Hold on to this book. Keep this book. This is what gets you through life. By living with this perspective, having this perspective, this eternal perspective, by letting the truths that have been revealed to you drive the way you live out the rest of your days in this very short time that you have left, which is but a mist we sung out about a little while ago, and you're going to die. Does the world have this? They live panic, fret, and fear. Look at the news at night. They're driven by it. You have a God who's Lord over all. He's revealed himself to you. You have a God who sits enthroned over it all. His kingdom is the kingdom over all kingdoms, to whom every kingdom bows and confesses. Shouldn't that change us in some way? Shouldn't that change how we look at life? Shouldn't that change how we look at death? Shouldn't it? Remember the first thing the Lord said of those on the outside, they're cowards. You're not cowards. You're not cowards. This perspective of sovereignty, this perspective of victory, this perspective of certainty of the outcome that he's won, even over death, it's going to get you through everything if you keep it. It was at the heart of what Jesus was saying when he said, I tell you, I don't want you as my people worrying in this life. I don't want you worrying. Is not life more than eating and drinking? You're seriously worried about retirement. Are you kidding? You're worried about your bodies. Haven't I told you I'm going to raise them? You either believe this stuff or you don't, right? Stop worrying then. Is not life more than food? Is not life more than clothing? You belong to a kingdom with a king who reigns. That's where your heart should be seeking. That kingdom, that righteousness, him. Because it's certain. The Lord is so adamant about you, he wants you to know, in the midst of all this, that he does something for you. And I think it seems a little bit off in the middle of this section where this blatant warning comes out. Don't you mess with this book. Don't you mess with this book. He's doing that for you. You see, he's so adamant of you wanting to keep this book and have this perspective that he says, anyone who touches this book and messes with it to take away this perspective, I'm cursing him. That's for you. That's the effect of that. Don't you mess with my book. Don't you mess with what I want to be given to my people. I will add the plagues in this book if anyone messes with this or takes away from it and disregards it. These words are faithful and true. These words are faithful.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio. We hope you'll join us again next time for part two of this message from Pastor Chris. Until then, God bless.